Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the show. I'm so pleased to have our next guest on. Before I do, I want to remind you that at ExitCoachRadio.com, we have an audio library. It's 40 different topics, file folders that contain over 750 interviews from advisors, authors, and thought leaders on topics like how to grow the value of your business, how to prepare for exit, what to do after you exit your business, how to deal with key employee issues, a wide variety of topics. So please join us there at ExitCoachRadio.com. My next guest is Wally Houck, Dr. Wally Houck, and he's joining us from Milford. He's been with us before. Very pleased he's back with us again. He's a Vistage speaker, which means in Vistage International, to become a speaker and speak to business owners all over the country, you have to be well vetted. And he has accomplished that mark. We're going to talk about stopping the leadership malpractice today, how to replace the typical performance appraisal, and why the typical appraisal is being replaced by large influential companies and how they're struggling to make it work. Companies like Deloitte, Accenture, Adobe, et cetera, should be very, very interesting. Dr. Houck, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bill, thanks so much. Really happy to be back.
Thank you. We got a lot of great comments on our last interview, and if you would, just fill us in with a little bit of background information. Our listeners, of course, can go to the audio library and hear your past interview, but tell us a little bit about your background before we move into the topic today.
Great, thanks. Sure. I have 19 years experience in my own business and consulting and training. I help leaders to better engage employees and to be better and to become better leaders. And I do that through coaching and training and consulting. I've had corporate experience for 12 years, and I've worked with hundreds of organizations in the last 19 years. I worked with a couple of consultants who actually worked with Dr. W. Edwards Deming, and Dr. Deming is the something he calls profound knowledge, and I use that in my practice, and I just highly recommend it. And if the listeners are unfamiliar with Deming, it wouldn't surprise me because very few people are, but he probably was one of the most influential people in the 20th century and is continuing to be an influence today, even though he passed away in 1990.
Fascinating and great experience for you. And when we talk about the performance appraisal, of course, it's something a lot of people are familiar with. What's wrong with the performance appraisal of today before we get into why companies are replacing it?
Thank you. The main thing that's wrong with it is it really doesn't fulfill its purposes. The purpose is to help improve performance for the individual, for the organization, to protect the organization from legal challenges. And it really does a very poor job in all of those areas. If you talk with any HR person, you'll hear that very same thing. And what's interesting is just recently, and you mentioned in the intro, the number of very large organizations are coming to realize that they need to change it. I think they've realized it for quite a long time that it hasn't worked. And that's why I call it malpractice. Doctors are concerned about malpractice. Lawyers are concerned about malpractice. I believe that leaders of organizations should be concerned about malpractice because, and this may upset some people, if you have that and you're currently promoting and implementing the typical appraisal in your organization, I assert you're committing malpractice by doing that because it doesn't, it damages trust, it damages performance, it damages profitability, all in ways that you can't measure. And that's why a lot of the organizations now are really motivated to change. Plus the millennial, I don't pretend to be an expert on the millennial generation. I'm not sure anybody is. But they really demand a different type of environment to really function well. And I think they've been a big influence in organizations finally taking this plunge. You know, it was 30 years ago, Deming said that the performance appraisal was a deadly disease. So it's taken these guys 30 years to realize it. You know, Deming was way ahead of his time.
And it malpractice, I would guess, relate that to the shareholders who are looking for shareholder value from the operations of the company, and by continuing to promote people that aren't performing or recognizing that, then you're really hurting shareholder value.
Yeah, I would agree. You want to help those who are not performing. Now, what's interesting, you say those not performing. That is one of the purposes of the performance appraisal. So what is a non-performer? See, how would you define a non-performer? I have a very specific definition. It's someone who willingly and consistently breaks their agreements, that demonstrates a lack of integrity. That is somebody that is a poor performer. Now, when you provide them with consistent and respectful feedback about that, they tend to leave the organization. I just had this happen in one of my clients. This one person was being disruptive. She was going behind the scenes and sabotaging some of the work that we were doing to try to get done. People found out about it. We confronted her with it. She left. Now, she went to a competitor, which is great, because that's what we need. We need these people to go
right.
to the competitors. And
right.
And it happens that quickly because they can't survive in an environment that has high levels of accountability. So that's what I help organizations to do. And the performance appraisal can't consistently deliver that high level of accountability.
These days we're in a kind of a social media open book, consumer-driven kind of a world where the consumers are telling companies more and more whether or not they're performing to consumer expectations, right? In so things like
right.
social media, Yelp, and things like that. So is it because you have a manager looking at an employee and not really listening to what where the real knowledge is probably around that employee and their reports and the associates that work with them? Are they not gathering enough information about attitude and morale? Is that a big part of it?
Well, that's part of it, and I would say that part of the root cause of that is that we have been taught, and we continue to teach our kids. This is the thing I talk about in the book. We continue to teach our kids a flawed theory, one that is we've outgrown. We've outgrown the theory of leadership that we currently teach our kids, and that theory says that if there's something wrong, the manager should fix it. The manager is omniscient and omnipotent. In other words, they know everything and they're all powerful. In fact, when you, well, I don't know if you follow the political race right now, you know, the primary for the Republicans, but you can see it in the questions that we ask our candidates. We're asking them questions with the assumption that they would know everything about everything. And these are gotcha questions. You know, who is this guy? Who is that guy? What happened, you know, back here? What would you do in this situation? It assumes that the manager should know everything, and that's one of the key flaws. No. You know, when the employees go home, they don't have to call their manager to decide whether to cut their lawn or not. You know, they have the ability to self-manage. Why can't you set up the same environment in your organization so that they self-manage? And that's what I help organizations to do. So there's these flawed assumptions that we have about how an organization runs. They're outdated. They used to work really well. We're moving too fast now. We have the information flow, as you mentioned, that moves too quickly, and we've got to respond quickly to the marketplace in ways that we can't even anticipate longer than a year from now. So how do we do that? We've got to give them, we've got to give every employee the ability to make quick decisions and trust that they will make the right decisions, but we've got to give them a context so that they can work within that in order to self-manage when they're at work. So that's what creates engagement. People love to self-manage. They don't want to be managed. You manage process and you lead people. Managing people came from slavery. That's the origin of it. So, you know, we treat them like slaves. They behave like children. You know, what do you expect?
So you mentioned that several large companies are replacing the typical performance appraisal with a new process, and they're struggling to make it work. What are some of the differences in how they're now managing towards performance, and what are some of the struggles?
The struggle is that they want faster feedback. And that's fine, except the flaw in that is that you're still giving feedback, you're still evaluating individuals. And Deming says is if you evaluate the parts of a system, you actually end up breaking the system down, so it's not functioning well. So for example, if you have an orchestra, let's say you're a conductor in an orchestra, and you want to maximize the performance, do you want to maximize the performance of the flautist and the cello? Or do you want them to interact in a way that creates a beautiful outcome? You don't want to maximize those parts. You maximize those parts, you're going to get something that sounds like, you know that noise that the orchestra makes just before, you know, when they're warming up?
Right, right, right.
That's where you're going to get that. And so when you separate the parts, like your car, if you put the high-performance tires on a Yugo, you know, you may not get to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. So you've got to look at how the system interacts. You've got to evaluate the interactions. What these companies are doing now, they're using social media and technology to create faster evaluations, faster and more frequent evaluations of the parts or the people. And I assert that it's not going to last long. It's going to fall apart at some point. But it sure sounds good because they're getting it faster and, you know, more, mm-hmm. you know, faster and more frequent. It sounds good. It's just not right.
It's new, so it sounds great, but what I think I hear you saying is it's too exact. It's kind of like reviewing every play in baseball. It's going to be a six-hour game.
Right, exactly. Yes, exactly.
There's going to be some close plays, and it's worked just fine the way it is. There's an authority that says it's an out or it's safe. Let's just leave it at that. You know, even
right.
You know, so okay. So, like you said, if you take all the components apart and scrub them up too much, then you're going to have a system that doesn't work. So what do you think will happen with some of these newer things? Will they be refined or scrapped, or where will we end up with some of these new systems?
Boy, it's hard to say. What I propose, it's really hard to say what they're going to do. I think they'll try to refine it, but it has to start with how you think about people. And we're still taught, we still teach our kids that they get a grade in school. They get a grade in school. What does that mean? So what does a B mean to an eighth grader? An eighth grade takes math. He gets a B. What does that mean?
I passed.
Is that hit? Okay, passed. There you go. You got past it.
Yeah.
But what are we trying to accomplish with that? See, and what are we teaching our kids with that? What we're teaching them is that they are scored based on how the system impacts them. That's really what that B means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a performance appraisal rating is. So if people now, what they're doing, which I really like, is they're eliminating the grade rating with some of these, but they're still giving criticism to, they're still giving people feedback about their, how they rate them, how the individuals rate them on certain word scales, or they're giving criticism or opinion about the people. And what I'm saying, here's the shift. The shift is, let's see, you go home tonight and you say, honey, I think there's some things that you could do to improve your performance around here, and I want to see you improve. So you're going to get a certain reaction if you do that. But if you go home and say, honey, you know, I really want our relationship to be better, and I think there's some things that I could do, and I'd really like to talk about what those are with you so that we can improve our trust and our communication. Would you be willing to have a discussion about that? And what is she going to say? Or he's going to say, of course. So it's about improving the quality of the interaction. It's not trying to improve the quality of the person. Only they can make that determination. Only they can make those decisions. Only they can look inward and say, what do I need to, and what do I want to change about myself? Trying to do that from the outside, you're going to get all kinds of unintended consequences. My concern is that some of the changes that the bigger companies are making are still attempting to do that. It's still assuming that the manager knows best. He or she sees what the employee is doing. They know what the employee should be doing, and so they tell them or they rate them or they give them feedback about that. And if it's fine, if it's learning, but if it's about trying to control them, that's when you're going to get all kinds of challenges.
Yeah, it's just a different grading system, but this in a flawed environment is what I think I hear you saying is that we're changing the way we grade them based on a different set of circumstances and facts, but we really haven't fixed the real problem.
That's my take on it. I could be wrong. Maybe they'll surprise me and do something different, but not anything. All that I've read about the changes that they're making, especially in GE and Deloitte and Adobe, I'm wondering about Accenture because I haven't seen any. It's too new. But the others are still rating employees in different ways or criticizing them in different ways instead of looking at the system that they work within and cooperating with them for improvement like a partnership. Should be like a partnership. And I know people talk like that, but when you're rating somebody, it's not a partnership. It's a judgment.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think for some of these companies, I would imagine that, you know, the question is, why are you evaluating them in the first place? Why do we evaluate workers in the first place? Well, in some cases, for litigation or to avoid litigation down the road, in case we need to fire them, we need to have evaluated them and show that they're not doing a good job. And in other situations, it's a merit-based performance to try to figure out who gets a bigger raise than someone else or who gets a raise at all. But at GE, didn't Jack Welch used to say, the bottom 10% are gone.
Bottom 10% gone. Yep, and he still stands by that. And virtually everybody has gotten rid of that policy because they had such overwhelming, you know, negative reaction to that. And
right.
Again, I think GE kind of outgrew that.
But he had a purpose. He had a purpose behind that, and the purpose was to elevate the performance of the company through its people, right?
Correct. That's true. And you could make the case, some people could make the case that he did that with that particular policy. I would assert that because of the strength of the economy in the 80s when he was there in the early 90s and because of his strategy, GE was really successful. I think in spite of the rank and yank that he put in place, he was successful. But that would be my bias and my take on it. But again, you know, people still disagree. I'll give you an example. I just made a presentation at a Vistage-like group today. In fact, you mentioned Vistage. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, well, you know, we pay people bonuses based on their performance behaviors. And I said, well, give me an example. What performance? Well, working with a sense of urgency. I said, okay. How do you define urgency? Well, I know it when I see it. Oh, okay. All right. See, that's a judgment. And so when the boss walks by, you can look busy, right? And, in fact, when the boss isn't there, the other employees are saying, hey, slow down. You're making us look bad. We need some overtime.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, employees will get around this stuff. You know, when you try to control them, you can't do it. You can't even control your kids at home. How are you going to control the employees? They have to want to put the effort in, which is engagement. So setting up an environment that's engaging is the key. And when you're judging mm-hmm. them, they're going to find it's going to damage engagement. That's one of the things that it does. It damages engagement.
So setting up the environment where they want to engage. Now, what advice would you give to business owners who are struggling with their current performance appraisals process?
Well, I would give them advice to buy my book and hire me to replace it. But in short of that, there's one thing that you could do starting tomorrow, which would be hugely impactful, I predict would be hugely impactful, and that is consistently manage agreements. And the leader could start to consistently manage agreements. What does that mean? It means two sentences. Make only agreements that you're willing and intend to keep, and verbalize those agreements to people. And then if and when, for some reason, you can't keep an agreement, you let people know, and you let them know right away. So you manage agreements. Now, a poor performer is either unable or unwilling to manage their own agreements. And that's the key. That's the definition. And you can find that out really quickly. And if a leader isn't keeping their agreements, how can that leader expect the employees? I hear this all the time. You know, he wants us to be on time for meetings, but he's never here. Well,
yeah.
You know, how can you – you got to set that example. So that's the example of the walk the talk. So if you don't have a performance appraisal that's working, whether you replace it, eliminate it, or keep it, it's managing agreements that's everything. It's like the cells of the body. If the agreements are healthy, the whole body is healthy, and everybody should be able to manage their agreements.
That's great feedback. Now, Dr. Hauck, you have two books on Amazon and 7 Mistakes Leaders Make When Leading People, right?
Yeah, that's actually a free article on my website.
Oh, that's the article. So, okay.
Yeah,
sorry about
that's
that.
A free article they can get. And there's also another free article called Fearless Feedback, which is a talk which touches on, it's actually a white paper on one of my clients and how they implemented the things that we've been talking about today. But the two books are The Art of Leading, 3 Principles for Predictable Performance Improvement, and Stop the Leadership Malpractice, How to Replace the Typical Performance Appraisal. And that second one is the one that outlines how can you implement a performance appraisal process that really engages people and gets them to cooperate with each other much, much better.
Well, it sounds fascinating. It's information that's available on Amazon, but also at your website is where they would find those two articles, right? At it's Wally Hauck, WallyHauck.com. And if someone wanted to talk to you about or learn more about you to engage you as a speaker or as a consultant, is that the best place for them to go, or should they get in touch with you another way?
No, they can go right to the website, and it's wally@wallyhauck.com. So it's wally@wallyhauck.com, and be happy to answer any questions and talk about this. People are struggling with this right now. If we have another second, I was just at this Vistage-like meeting this morning with 11 business owners, and the guy that's the facilitator said they have two major issues that they deal with all the time. The first one is, how do you get more revenue? And the second one is, guess what, people issues. And I believe that's true for pretty much every organization today. How do you get more revenue, and how do you get your people to cooperate with each other? So
absolutely. Yeah. We hear that over and over and over again. It's always the people problems. And again, getting that right can lead to the additional revenues if you can get more efficiency and people working together in the right environment. It's great information.
Amen.
Well, thank you.
I agree.
Thank you so much for joining us again. It's been fascinating. And again, to our listeners, you can hear Dr. Hauck's other interview in our audio library at exitcoachradio.com. Pleasure to have you back. You're welcome back anytime. I love the stories, and keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Bill, thanks so much for having me back.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today. Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.